Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
That God has said, come to me because of the cross. Amen. And he's come to us to indwell us, and our body has become the holy place. That this mighty God, this God who dwells in unapproachable light, the scripture said, can dwell and feel at home within our hearts. I'll tell you something, the outside of me, he's still working on me. But what he's done on the inside of me, if I'm holy enough for God to live in, I believe I can live in the holy city. Can you say amen? Because what makes the city holy is not the silver or the gold or even the angels in that city. What makes the city holy is the God who made it and the God who lives within it. Can you say amen? And that God has come to live in you and me. The moment you become a Christian, he comes to indwell us, the scripture said. Isn't that incredible that this mighty God would come to live in your life and mine, indwell us by the Spirit? Hallelujah. That's how I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. If the Holy One of that place can live in me here upon the earth, certainly I can live with him. Hallelujah. When I leave this earth. Well, that's just another thing. Praise God. But it's a good thing. We love you today. We thank you for your generous giving. I said I can tell you how much you're appreciated, but only God can bless you like he wants to bless you. And he's promised to bless you. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, and running over. And he said men would give unto your bosom. Can you say amen? So God will move on people and move circumstances to be a blessing directly to you. And even though he uses the human agency, amen, he said that he would. So it doesn't fall. I don't have a money tree in my backyard. Do you? Start to say, I want a sprig. I probably want to plant that thing. Amen. God doesn't rain it out of heaven. He moves in the natural circumstances and the ebbs and flows of life to get his blessing into your life and into mine. Amen. And some of them have surprised me, amazed me. They come in ways that you would probably never imagine most of the time. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for being so faithful. And I believe this is the year of the favor of the Lord. That's not just a song. That's a theme that we came into 2006 with. It's not a holy hype to get us to feel better or give better. I believe we're giving excellent, praise God. So I don't have any hype. And we were not, I wouldn't try to hype you into it, because God wants your heart, not hype from the preacher to motivate you. But when he has your heart, he has the whole of you. He has all of you. And that's more important to him than anything else that you could possibly give him today. But God's going to bless you. So be open to that blessing. Be expectant of that blessing. Praise God. Don't let this world distract you in the things that are so distracting from all the good things that God wants to do in your heart and in your life this year. This is a great year if you stay focused. This is a great year for those who expect mighty things from the Lord. Amen. God will never exceed you, his own. Well, listen, let me put it this way. You can't expect anything that can exceed what God has in mind for you. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or even ask. So God just wants you to have an expectant heart. Let him take care of the exceeding abundant stuff in your life. Can you say amen? But I'll tell you something. He wants to answer every prayer and meet every need in such a way that he is glorified in the answer and in the meeting. He wants everyone associated with you and me to know that you have a God, and he wants them also to know that he has a people. Can you say amen? And his blessing is a strong indicator of that reality. So it's not just going to church on Sunday. It's walking with a God that you love, who loves you, and living for him and living with him in a personal reality, in a personal experience. Well, that's another sermon. I got about 15 going here. We'll stop all of those but the one for this morning. And we have a wedding right after this service that will take place. We will segue. We will go from this service into the wedding service. There'll be a little pause for those that cannot stay, didn't know about this, didn't plan to stay, and we will have that transition as a song is played to get ready for that. There's also a reception in the portable. that God has provided for such things. He knew this day was coming. Hallelujah. He provided a portable. Did it just for Rick and Casey. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thought it was for Sunday school all this time. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God knew what He was doing. And so we're grateful for that. And you're invited to stay and enjoy that with us. And we hope that you will and hope that you can. Praise God. So as we receive this offering, I want you to receive it. We don't just give to give. We give because we love the Lord. But when we do that, we're promised that God is going to remember us, that He's going to bless us. He's going to find a way and make a way. What He needs from us is an expectant heart. Can you say amen? So keep focused this year. I guarantee you distractions are going to come to me. Distractions are going to come to you. That's why I love our theme song. We may do it again this morning. Amen. It's on a tape here, but that it's a bad one. You got the good one. Okay, you want to get that ready in a little bit. Amen. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. Amen. All right, Heavenly Father, bless this offering, bless gift and giver. I've said enough. You're going to do more than say things. You're going to do things in the lives of your people. And Father, we expect it from our heart because you said it in your word. And we claim that blessing that is ours to claim in the name of Jesus. And everyone that will receive the blessing said, best amen I've had all morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. We're going to talk a little while about some things that are in line with the what is about to happen here today, in a sense. I'm going to read you a scripture that is usually read at funerals. Some of you married men said, well, amen, wedding, funeral, amen. No, that's not that way if it's a marriage made in heaven. Everybody say a marriage made in heaven. I want to talk about the mystery of marriage and the coming of Messiah, the coming of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about something that the Bible calls a mystery, but God has a wonderful way of taking mysteries and unveiling them. People look at the mysterious book called the Book of Revelation, and mainly we tend to gravitate toward the symbols and the judgments, the bowls, the vials of judgments that are poured out, the trumpet judgments, the angels that are bringing judgments, and the judgments themselves, cataclysmic judgments. That when we talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we think of all of the things that are coming upon the earth as the Antichrist comes into reign and comes into rulership for a season in this world, and all of the chaos that comes and all of the judgments that fall and all of the suffering that comes into this world. It's hard to imagine suffering beyond what's taking place in our world right now globally, but it's going to get worse before the end of all things. Amen. But in the interim, between all of that, there's a coming of the Lord not to judge the earth. It's not called a second coming. There's a coming of the Lord called the rapture. Amen. Rapture's not in your Bible. It is not in mine. Neither is Trinity. But there certainly is a triune God there that phrase comes from. And there certainly is an event in the New Testament that is not really talked about in the Old Testament. And that event is the coming of Christ in a personal coming for His people, both Jew and Gentile, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. One thing is clear throughout Scripture, Jesus is coming again. And He's coming, it's one advent. If you want to look at it that way, it's one advent, the second coming. But it's comprised of two events. One is the secret, quick, mighty coming, instant coming for His church. Amen. The other is the coming when He will stand up on Mount Olivet, as is prophesied even in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament doesn't see the unveiling of like the New Testament gives it. Amen. And the Bible said when He comes in the second coming, every eye will see Him. Amen. And the world will mourn because of Him, because John saw Him with hair as wool and eyes as fire. He's coming as the supreme judge of the quick and the dead. And if you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, it's a terrifying thing to think of standing before one who knows everything we ever did, particularly that we've rejected the opportunity, amen, to receive grace and mercy and forgiveness. We've turned away that open door that the gospel gives us to salvation. The greatest sin of all, and all will be chronicled according to Scripture, but the greatest sin of all is the sin of rejecting light and rejecting love and rejecting God's own Son. Can you say amen? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? No one has ever loved you, will ever love you, could ever love you like God has loved you and proved that love in the gift of His Son. Can you say amen? We rejoice in the love of God. Hallelujah. That He's given to you. I still don't understand it. We'll never feel worthy. If you feel worthy of it, you don't really understand or appreciate it. Can you say amen? I'm not worthy of that. You're not worthy of that. And I don't know why Jesus loved me, as the song said. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad that He did. But there's a coming of the Lord that's different from that. And God uses the ancient Jewish marriage ceremony to talk about His coming and to talk about His bride and to talk about His love and to talk about His place that He's going to take us to. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now I just want to read to start this in John 14, verses 1 through 3, quickly. And you've probably heard this at a funeral before. And it's appropriate for a funeral. But it's not just a funeral scripture about heaven and a place that we're going to go to, but a God who loves us and is coming for a bride. Listen to this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, we usually, when we read the book of Revelation, we're zeroing in on the place because John saw the place. Can you say amen? He saw the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. But even when he saw it coming down out of heaven, he said, I see it in the wedding context. I see it as a wedding situation taking place. I see it, amen, because the saints inhabit that as a wedding between a bride and a groom. Can you say amen? I don't just see it as a golden city. And I don't just see it with golden streets and gates of pearl. I see it as an abiding place of two lovers, hallelujah, who have had their love for each other consummated. I saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for a wedding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? So we're talking wedding stuff. We're talking bridal stuff. We're talking bridegrooms and brides and love and consummations and wedding suppers. Jesus told His disciples and all believers then yet to come that someday He would return to take believers to Himself. Where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus is saying the focus really isn't on the place, but the person who loves you so much, He wants you with Him forever. The place is just so that these two people in love can be together, the church and the bridegroom. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. If you don't really love each other, there's no house that you can make a home. Can you say amen? There are some houses in this city that would blow you away. They're building condominiums now. What is it? Trump built this place, building this place. I think it's sold out already. I mean, the low end is $700,000. The high end is $2.5 million. For an apartment. Excuse me. Can you say amen? I don't think any of you probably will have that prestigious address down here. Can you say amen? I would probably not send anything to Mike, even though he's excelling in the school system. I really don't believe, amen, he can afford, a penthouse in Trump Towers. I really don't think we will send his letter, recognition of tithing to, Trump 1 or whatever it is. Amen. But I do know one day I'll see Mike in heaven, and I know he'll have a place in heaven. Amen. Amen. In My Father's house are many mansions, and we see these great houses. Heaven's going to be something beyond any great house you could ever imagine. It's going to be beyond the Taj Mahal. It's going to be beyond anything that man could ever possibly build. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But it's not about that. That's not what heaven is about. It's about people. It's about relationships. It's about reunion with loved ones that have preceded us to that place. It wouldn't be heaven without our loved ones there. Amen. In honesty, I want all my loved ones to be there. I want my friends, my neighbors. I want my family to be gathered around that great marriage supper. It's one of the most profound and provocative themes of the Bible is the coming of the Lord for His church. It is more than just a prediction. It's a glorious promise made by Jesus Christ himself. And I'm going to tell you something. God is a stickler over keeping his promises. He watches over his word, the Old Testament said, to perform it. And every promise he ever made, he's kept thus far. And we have no reason to doubt that the promises of future events, amen, he will be just as faithful to them. When any one of Christ's contemporaries heard these statements that I just read you, he or she would immediately relate it to the ancient Jewish wedding tradition. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there's many mansions. If I go to prepare a place, I will come for you, that where I am, there you may be. This is all about a wedding. And God has chosen that ancient pattern of his day. Christ has chosen that to talk about his coming. Amen. For every generation. We have a wedding in this service, and although I agree, I was thinking in terms of something that would kind of work in with that today. But this is about the second coming of Jesus, the soon coming of Jesus, amen. The reality of the coming of Jesus. I mean, the prophecies, I don't want to even get off on that because it would take hours, amen, but the prophecies that are being fulfilled so very quickly. It's like a domino effect. One great event happened in 1948 that signified a time, amen, as the last of the last days. Amen. When Israel became a nation, that's God's timepiece. See, there I am off in that. I can't help it, praise God. It's getting close. You read the paper. I don't just see the bad news. I see all the news in light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And there's certain events happening that is causing my expectations to just soar. I'm living in the light of the soon coming of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Even the earthquakes, even the weather conditions, the chaos in the world, it's all significant because Jesus is coming soon. Look what Paul said about uniting of a man and woman in marriage and the great spiritual truth about Jesus and the church. About the unveiling of a mystery through something we can't understand to look into something that we couldn't understand unless God related it to something we can. Look what he said. This is part of the teaching about husbands and wives. And I'm going to pick up verse 29 of the narrative in Ephesians 5. It said, "For yet no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth, cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body." Now, he was talking about marriage and a man and woman. He addressed in the previous scripture, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify it and cleanse it and present it to himself a glorious church." Amen. But he said, "For we are members of his body." He's moving now into the spiritual counterpart. He said, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Isn't it incredible that God says, now you are the sons of God and you are the body of Christ, spiritually speaking, and his members in particular? I talked to every couple, the Christian couple that's coming that is acknowledged faith in Christ, that God wants to do something very, very special during a marriage ceremony, something supernatural, something more than legal or sentimental, amen, but something spiritual. And that is the uniting of a man and a woman and causing two to become one. It's an incredible miracle of marriage. And a lot of Christians were not aware that God wanted to do something spiritual, something that would put you so close together in unity of purpose and unity in life, amen, in kinship. Until you don't just see that person as your significant other. Can you say, amen? Hello, this is my significant other. I mean, it could be a wife. It could be a live-in person. It could be male, female. Amen. Hey, this is my significant other. No, this is my wife, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Amen. You know what Christ says about his church? Starts calling her bride from the moment you're espoused to him. You know what he starts calling you? He starts calling you bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. The great apostle looks at the church and he sees the body of Jesus out there. Hallelujah. Amen. I like what one young man said that was really rough around the edges when he came to the Lord. One of Pat Boone's son-in-laws that, you know, God got a hold of and sanctified and worked over. But when he first got saved and came into the family of God, he said, "I knew without a shadow of doubt, because I was in a loving, accepting church, that I was part of the body of Christ. But at the time, I was the armpit of the body of Christ." Amen. Hallelujah. But he grew, and that's why we embrace and accept people into the kingdom, because they start out rough around it. By the way, some of you are still a little rough around the edge. And if you don't say amen, I'm going to have an altar call before the wedding. Praise God. Amen. I'm a little rough around the edges. But I hope I've moved from the armpit to maybe the big toe or somewhere just a little more notoriety. Praise God. In all these years and God working on me. But we're members of his body, spiritually speaking. God looks at you spiritually. And he said, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, or be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Isn't that incredible? Two shall become one flesh. Two shall become one flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's the miracle of marriage. And a lot of Christians still don't get that. But those that do are getting closer to God and closer to one another and closer to the great truth, amen, that God has placed us in his Son and placed his Son in us in spiritual positioning and posture. Isn't it incredible that we are representative spiritually of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as Christ the church. Verse 32 said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And this is an incredible word for mystery here in the Greek, because one of the meanings in Strong's Concordance, and it's the way it's used here, it's not something secret that can't be found out, but something, a truth that is being revealed. It's a truth that hadn't been seen that's now coming to light. That's what apocalypse means. It doesn't have a negative connotation. Amen. The apocalypse is what the revelation is. Amen. And the apocalypse is about unveiling of Jesus. Amen. So if you read the revelation just for the plagues and the judgments coming on the earth, and not he who's coming to the earth, and the glorious future of the church with him on the earth, praise God, you're going to miss the point. Because the book doesn't start with, this is going to really be something you have to unravel and all these scary things. It starts with this statement, amen, the revelation of Jesus Christ given to St. John while he was on the Isle of Patmos. Can you say amen? Everybody say the revelation of Jesus. That's what this word mystery is all about. In Strong's Concordance it says of that Greek word that Paul used here is mystery. The secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from the ungodly and the wicked men, but made plain to the godly. Isn't that incredible? Now here Paul is talking about the uniting of a man and woman, and suddenly he says, hey, here's an opportunity to use this to show you a great new truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus and the church is just like this spiritually. So this must be a mighty love story. Can you say amen? More than anything else, the Bible is a love story. Hallelujah. There's a bride in it. A bride-to-be. There's an anxious groom. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a marriage supper. There's a place prepared. Hallelujah. For the honeymoon. That will last forever. Glory to God. When God wants to make something plain to us, he breaks it down. And on many occasions, uses a practical analogy to convey a spiritual truth. Aren't you glad that God breaks it down for us? I have young men come to me at work all the time, and they said, Rev, they give me a scripture that says, can you break this down for me? Amen. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's here to do. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. But he uses things that we can't understand to let us see into things that we couldn't if he didn't. Jesus talked about his coming again and used the ancient Jewish wedding tradition as the pattern. And throughout all the New Testament, this pattern is unbroken. However it's running, it's going to run that way to the end, because God chose it as the pattern for his coming. Are you ready for this? I'm going to try to preach fast. Can you listen fast? First thing that happened in the ancient Jewish wedding was the betrothal. Everybody say the betrothal. Both the girl's father and the boy's father choose and arrange for a betrothal. That's the Jewish wedding. In the Messianic parallel, the Holy Spirit chooses the bride and brings people to God through repentance. Jesus prayed for this in John 17. Listen, Father, this is the Father and Son now wanting to set up this betrothal. I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Everybody say, where I am, there you shall be. It's exactly what He's talking about. He said, Father, all them that You draw by Your Spirit and give to me as my bride, I want them to be with me wherever I am. See, that's what heaven is about. It's being where Jesus is. Can you say amen? You know what heaven is about? It's being with your loved ones. Amen. Would I like to live in a golden mansion with golden streets without Pamela? I don't think so. Without my daughter and my sons? I don't think so. Can you say amen? What makes a house a home is not how beautiful the house is, but the love that flows from the people within it. Sometimes you drive by and look at these beautiful houses and say, oh, they must be so happy. Honey, if the love of God is not flowing from heart to heart in that house, believe me, that's all it is. It's a house. It's not a home. Amen. But there's somewhere where there's laughter. There's somewhere where there's love. There's somewhere where there's a lot of hugging going on. There's somewhere where people sit down to what we would consider a meager meal with love for God and love for one another. And I'm telling you, that's the rich people of this earth. And that will be the rich people in heaven. Can you say amen? Paul preached about this with this very thing in view. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 11:2. He said, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Isn't that incredible? I've espoused you. That means through his preaching and the people that would come to the Lord through it. He said, you've become spoken for. You've become betrothed. You've become espoused to Christ. You're the bride and he's the bridegroom, and a wedding is awaiting you, praise God. But from this moment forward, if you're a Christian, you're spoken for. Isn't that great? There's an espousal. You're spoken for. Amen. If someone puts an engagement ring on your finger, it means you're spoken for. Everybody else better keep away. I remember when my wife and I first got married, somebody hit on her at the cash and carry. What's those bag boys at the cash and carry? Yeah, that was B.C. That was before Christ. I wanted his name, social security number, license tag. I wanted to go let him bag something. Anyway, moving right along. Why? Because there's a ring on her finger. You know what that ring says? You touch my wife, I break your face. Amen? God said, listen, there's a godly jealousy. He says, you're mine. I have an exclusive on you. When you came to Christ, you were espoused to Him for this great wedding that's going to take place in heaven. We're following the pattern. You don't belong to anyone else. You're not looking for anyone else. Hallelujah. To they that look, He shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. Can you say amen? I'm my beloved's and He is mine. This is during the espousal. They were not even married yet in the Song of Solomon, but from the moment of espousal, He was mine and I am His exclusively. His banner over me is love. Everybody say, His banner over me is love. If you're not a Christian, God is seeking you to become a part of that growing company, known in Scripture as the bride of Jesus Christ. Not just sinners saved by grace, or not even just sons of God, but the very bride of Jesus Christ. You can become a son of God and an heir of God, but that's not so much about love as legal right. But when we talk bride, bridegroom, we're not just talking about legal rights in the kingdom. We're talking about awesome, mighty, wonderful, intimate, personal, passionate love for one another. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Did you get all of that? I couldn't say it again. I hope you got it. Praise God. First was a betrothal. And the second, a price was paid. The second event, once they got together on this, a price was paid. In the Jewish wedding, ancient Jewish wedding of Christ's time, a dowry is paid by the groom's father for the bride's hand in marriage. In some nations, the bride has to present the dowry. But in this, the groom's daddy presented it. Amen? The groom's father did it. What did the father do as a payment price? Amen? For for all the lost of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. Amen. He gave his Son. He gave his Son. In the messianic parallel, Jesus gave his life to purchase us, to redeem us. God gave his Son, and Jesus gave his life. Acts 20, 28 speaks of the church as having been purchased with his own blood. The purchase price is a precious price. The scripture said you are not redeemed with corruptible things after the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood. Everybody say the precious blood. Of a lamb without spot and without blemish. God gave his Son. Jesus shed his blood and gave his life. Ephesians 1:14 said Christians are called the purchased possession. Isn't that incredible? God has a claim on you. You know why? The Bible said we should give ourselves to him because we're not our own anymore. We're espoused and their price has been paid to ransom us. And he doesn't just want to set us free from slavery, but bring us to his own house and make us his own. Now you are the sons of God. Amen. We belong to the Lord. We become citizens of heaven while still living on the earth. In the ancient Jewish culture, from the day of the espousal, the woman was referred to as the bride. Not on the day of the wedding, but the day of the engagement. From that moment, the woman was referred to as the bride because a covenant had been struck. Amen. And she's accepting now, amen, this man that the two fathers have agreed upon, and now a covenant has been struck, and from that moment, she's the bride of that man. She's just waiting for him to come and take her home. If you're not a Christian, the price has been paid for you. Well, amen. Well, 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 amen. High and above anything that you could pay has been paid. Your sin debt can be canceled. That's an amazing thing. That everything we've ever done wrong can be obliterated and taken away. Remitted is the New Testament term. You can be justified and you can be made righteous and you can be made ready. Amen. You can become in God's sight a virgin as if you've never sinned. Isn't that incredible? I love the lyrics to the song that a group called GLAD used to sing. An a cappella group sung it a lot. Amen. And I love the lyrics. It said, in these days of confused situations, in these nights of restless remorse, when the heart and the soul of a nation lay wounded and cold as a corpse. From the grave of innocent Adam comes a song bringing joy to the sad. Oh, your cry has been heard and the ransom has been paid up in full. Be ye glad. And then the chorus says, oh, be ye glad. Every debt that you've ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that the price has been paid? Hallelujah. That the Father gave his Son, the Son gave his life and shed his blood. So after the espousal and the price has been paid, and by the way, while this price was paid, they immediately cut a covenant and they sealed it. You know how they sealed the covenant? By drinking a cup of wine. Every time we have Holy Communion, we're acknowledging that we have cut a covenant with God. A blood covenant has been cut. We belong to Him. He's coming for us. We show His death till He what? Till He comes. Hallelujah. It's looking back toward the cross. It's looking right now in the present in our relationship. And it's looking forward to His coming. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in covenant. Hallelujah. We're in covenant. We're in covenant. We're in covenant. And the third thing that happened was the departure. After the espousal was made, he's approached her. She's accepted him. Guess what? He goes back to his father's house. He doesn't marry her immediately because there's preparation to be made. Once the deal has been done, he goes back to his father's house and leaves her waiting for him to come and get her. The Jewish wedding, the bridegroom departs, going back to his father's house to prepare accommodations for her. What did Jesus say? That's why they thought of it as a wedding. They knew what this was all about. They knew exactly what he was talking about. I go to prepare a place. That means an espousal has been made. A covenant has been struck. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. A price has been paid. The only thing left to do is get that place ready for her. I go to prepare what? For who? The bride. Glory to God. In Yeshua's own words, I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place, that means a deal has been struck. If I prepare the place, if it's got to that stage, I'm coming to get you. Woo! Did you hear me? I said He's coming to get us, church. Whether we be in the ground or above the ground, it won't matter when He comes to get us. Oh, give Him a hand clap. Praise God, not a patty cake. Glory to God. The departure took place in Acts 1, 9 through 11. Listen to this. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you've seen Him go to heaven. In other words, if a deal has been struck, if a price has been paid, if a covenant has been cut, hallelujah, if someone has received His offer, he goes away to prepare a place. But as sure as He goes, He's going to come back again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Next thing on the agenda is the return of the bridegroom for the bride. Usually it was about a year in the ancient culture. There was a time of waiting. Amen. A time of being apart, but apart only in the sense of physical presence, not apart in terms of the heart still set upon one another. Isn't that incredible? Jesus said, I've longed to eat this meal with you. Amen. There's a passionate love in the heart of Christ. Amen. He went to the cross because He loves you. Amen. Not to just give you legal rights, but to give you a relationship, hallelujah, that can only be epitomized and really clearly understood in the uniting of a man and woman in marriage. Isn't that incredible? It's a lot better than just going to church so I don't go to hell. Hallelujah. Isn't it better than that? Isn't it better than that? It's supposed to be better than that. No wonder so many people start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. I hope your honeymoon wasn't like that. I don't mean, you know, don't even go there. Let's forget I said that. Strike that from the record and let's move on. The Jewish wedding, when the father gave the okay, the son would immediately come for the bride, but the father had to give the okay. There's all kinds of books written about time setting for the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's the Jewish wedding pattern. Son don't know. Amen. He knows because he and the Father are one. But literally, amen, no man knows the time or the hour. Christ taught none but who? The Jewish wedding pattern. None but who? The Father. The Father's going to give the order. And you know, when He gave the order, there was such a desire to be united. He's waited so long. He's prepared the place. I mean, every day he said, today, today. And sometimes, you know, here's how this works. Technically, amen, if He said, you can go Tuesday and get your bride, the son could technically say at 1 minute after midnight on Monday night, it's Tuesday. Right, Dad? And it wasn't uncommon, amen, for a wedding situation to take place at midnight. The bridegroom would come with all his friends, making a big noise down the street, carrying torches, and a young woman who had everything packed and ready would be awoke out of a dead sleep, amen, because the friends of the bridegroom would precede all of that and say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My Bible says at midnight there was a cry. They all were sleeping, but at midnight there came a cry. Dale used to sing about the midnight cry. Honey, it's just about midnight in our world. Darkness is covering the earth. Gross darkness to people. But the Bible said it's time to get up, church. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 60. Wow. Hallelujah. God is a gracious and a good God today. The Father will give the listen, Jesus is going to descend from heaven with what? Same thing that happened with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. What's the archangel going to cry? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's a shout. Jesus promised to come back for us and take us away with Him. We should live in a state of readiness. Matthew 25 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took oil in their lamps. Everybody say the Jewish wedding. We're talking about virgins. We're talking about a spouse. We're talking about bridegrooms. We're talking about marriage suppers. We're talking about a place called heaven that He's prepared for us. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. We're talking about an empty profession as opposed to a personal possession. Amen. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout. There was a cry made. Glory to God. Behold, what is the shout? The cry says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Want to know what that angel is going to say? Here it is. In red and white. Because these are the words of Christ in the New Testament. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Some of the most tragic words in all of the Scripture. It's just like Noah in the ark, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. A day came when the door was shut. But thank God, right now, the door is wide open. For whosoever will can come and drink of the river of life freely. Watch therefore. This is the attitude of the bride. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. But we know one thing for sure. As sure as a covenant's been struck, as sure as a price has been paid, a betrothal has been made, as sure as He's departed, He's coming again. He's following the pattern. It is not broken. Paul talked about it in 1 Thessalonians 4, for either the dead and the living in Christ. For the Lord Himself shall descend. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Everybody know what that's all about? Amen. For the voice of the archangel, everybody know what he's going to say? Amen. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. Are you getting it? It ain't going like this. It's getting in here. Amen. A great truth is being revealed. The New Testament is bringing a new truth. Jesus is not just coming to judge the world. He's coming to receive His own. Then we which are alive and remain, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. The honeymoon. In this passage, the English phrase caught up translates the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize upon with force, to snatch up and take away. The Latin translators of the Bible use the word rapturo, the root of the English term rapture. At the rapture, living believers will be caught up in the air, translated in the clouds in a moment in time to join the Lord. Where are we going? He's not going to come and stand on Olivet. The city hasn't come down yet, so where are we going? We're going to float around, amen, and like protoplasm somewhere between here and heaven, amen, hang out with Jesus somewhere in the air up there. And no, He's going to take us where He said He was going to take us, in my Father's house. Hallelujah. Where does He take her? Back to the Father's house. What's in the Father's house? Many mansions. Hallelujah. Because every one of you constitute the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The honeymoon takes place when we go back with Him. The groom takes his bride to a prepared bridal chamber where they're shut in and shut up for 7 days. Isn't that incredible? Messianic parallel believers are with their Lord in heaven. Listen to this. Many scholars believe this. According to the book of Daniel 9:27, amen, that there's a seven-year period that the tribulation lasts. You know how it all begins? John is on the earth in the book of Revelation. Before any plagues, any of the other stuff takes place, amen, there's a letters written to seven churches. There's a wonderful revelation of Jesus coming to judge the earth, but also coming, amen, as the bridegroom for his bride in that book. But in the book of Revelation, amen, John is standing on the earth writing letters to the churches, angels talking to him here upon the earth. But suddenly he said, I heard the sound of a trumpet and a voice saying, come up here. And from that point forward, it's not about the church because the church is already with him. The only time you see the church after that is when he comes back to stand upon the earth and the armies of heaven follow him. And believe me, they're not just angels because they're wearing white raiment. And white raiment is the wedding attire. Hallelujah. It's the robe of righteousness that only God can provide. Some songs that say, Lord, we will ride with you. Can you say amen? Amen. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that glory to God? Hallelujah. I know you're having trouble holding it down. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I appreciate the effort that you're giving so we can get through this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're not a Christian here today, it don't mean much to you. If you're one of them old dead, dried up ones, it don't mean much to you either. Amen. But if you're getting it this morning, you can hardly sit in your chair. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? We got something to shout about. We got something to become emotional about. This is not emotionalism. This is love returned. Hallelujah. He said in the book of Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. 7 days, 7 years, 7 days they were in the bridal chamber. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? The marriage supper. The wedding supper was next. After 7 days, they came out. She went in veiled. She came out unveiled. And now she is the bona fide wife forever. Praise God. And everybody can see her exactly who she is and behold her beauty, amen, as well as his. Amen. The wedding supper, after 7 days, the bride is presented unveiled as the wife of the groom forever. In the Jewish wedding, the feast, the bride and groom emerge from the bridal chamber at the end of 7 days. The wedding feast of the Lamb is talked about in Scripture, Revelation 19:7-9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Oh, nothing we offer. Our garments are spotted, but the garment of righteousness he gives us is not. It's his righteousness. Can you say amen? The Bible speaks of a wedding and a wedding garment. And not being able to attend the wedding without the wedding garment. This is following the ancient Jewish wedding. And it's going to follow it to the end of it. The next event on God's calendar is his coming. And then our going to be with him. And then the mighty marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. I believe the coming of the Lord is very near. And I believe we ought to be living in holy anticipation. A great wedding is about to take place. A great marriage supper is being prepared. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this could be the day that determines your destiny, whether you will be left upon the earth, whether you will be taken when he comes, whether you will face the sure judgments of God, or whether you will be embraced by his mercy. And it's all up to what you do with what this wonderful, wonderful God has offered you in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. He loves you today. He gave his Son to purchase you. The price. See, that's why I can pray for lost loved ones and friends and people I don't even know. Because Jesus has already said, I want them to be mine. The vile, the undone, the unclean, the sinner. He says, I want you. I came to seek you so I could save you. so I could make you my own. Not just take you to heaven or take you from hell, but make you my own. He loves you. God gave His Son. Christ gave His life. I want you to bow your head just for a moment. Is there anyone in this room that's never really embraced the gospel? You've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Could I see your hand quickly? Just lift it up and take it down. Let Him see that you want to be part of His wonderful provision. Is there anyone in this room? Anyone in this room that God is talking to, that Christ is calling? I know the Holy Spirit works when I preach this great truth. It's not predictions. It goes beyond prophecy. It is promises. This is a promise of God. Anyone in this